You're reading from John's Gospel, the very first chapter, beginning in verse 6. This is the Gospel of the Lord Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came unto his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we're still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. Selected verses out of Matthew chapter 12. They shall all be referred to in the sermon. Please receive this now, the ongoing, living, and active word of the Lord. From Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' That controversy continued. Some people sought to destroy Jesus because he was doing good deeds on the Sabbath. And then our passage continues in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 17. "So that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles.'" We've gone from the Sabbath now to the servant, and now there'll be something about the Holy Spirit. But first, an evil spirit. "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, 'Could this be the Son of David?' Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?'" So later on, in that same context of controversy over the Holy Spirit, Jesus says this: "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Controversy over the Sabbath, the Scripture's clear statement about a servant, and then a controversy over the Spirit, and then a request for a sign. Verses 38 and 39, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Our passage then ends with these words: "Then one said to Jesus, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing. O Lord, in your kindness, bore out our ears and shape us by your word and spirit, so that we may live lives in accordance with your word and spirit. Through Jesus we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever missed something that you were looking for and it was in plain sight? I had a feeling a few people would immediately laugh about that. Have you ever, you might have even placed something in the right place and it's right there, it's in plain sight, and you're missing it, you're looking for it. I know someone not too long ago was holding his keys and was looking for his keys, his car keys. Where are my car keys? Where did I set them? I know of a case where someone was actually looking for their glasses. And their sunglasses were on their head. And they're looking, where are my sunglasses? They're right there in plain sight to other people. One time, I was even looking for my glasses and they were on my face. Where are my glasses? In 1905, G.K. Chesterton wrote an essay sharing some delightful observations. The essay was called A Piece of Chalk. Chesterton loved a drawing with chalk. This is how he started the essay. I remember one splendid morning, all blue and silver in the summer holidays, when I reluctantly tore myself away from the task of doing nothing in particular and put on a hat of some sort and picked up a walking stick and put 6 very bright colored chalks in my pocket. Now, prior to starting the walk, Chesterton went down to the kitchen to ask for brown paper because he delighted in drawing in chalk, with chalk, on brown paper. He continued the essay. I not only like brown paper, but like the quality of brownness in paper, just as I like the brownness in October woods or in beer. Brown paper represents the primal twilight of the first toil of creation. And with a bright colored chalk or two, you can pick out points of fire in it, sparks of gold and blood red and sea green, like the first fierce stars that sprang out of divine darkness. Well, he got his paper, his brown paper, and took his walk and went out into the south portion. He sat down and began to draw, but before too long, his essay continues. It began to dawn on me, to my great disgust, that I had left one chalk, and that a most exquisite and essential chalk, behind. I searched all my pockets, but I could not find any white chalk. I sat on the hill in a sort of despair. And by the time he comes closer to the end of his essay, you can imagine this, the colorful phrases, but imagine this man, this big man who loves to draw on brown paper with various colored chalks, who even said he was not sitting out there to draw a cow, he wanted to draw the soul of a cow. Then I suddenly stood up and roared with laughter again and again, so that the cows stared at me and called a committee. Imagine a man in the Sahara regretting that he had no sand for his hourglass. Imagine a gentleman in mid-ocean wishing that he had brought some salt water with him for his chemical experiments. I was sitting on an immense warehouse of white chalk. The landscape was made entirely of white chalk. Chesterton, the brown paper artist, broke some off and finished his drawing. And then he concluded the essay with these words: "And as I stood there in a trance of pleasure, realizing that this southern England is not only a grand peninsula and a tradition and a civilization, it is something more admirable. It is a piece of chalk." It's right there. Right there in plain sight. Right before him and beneath him. Behind him and beside him. It was right there, missing it the entire time. And our placement in the Gospel of Matthew is concerned with presenting Jesus before us, but it's concerned with something else as well. It is concerned with us missing Jesus, who is right before us. It is possible to miss that which is right in front of us, in plain sight. Jesus has just issued severe warnings to those among whom most of his mighty deeds had been done. They missed Jesus. Jesus has just spoken severe warnings to those who had experienced his presence. They missed Jesus. Jesus was speaking to those who were confident that they had a healthy relationship with God the Father. But because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus the Son, Jesus boldly said, "No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son wills to reveal him." They were missing Jesus. The entire Scriptures speak of Jesus. And there were many who claimed to be in the Scriptures and claimed to be of the Scriptures, and they were missing Jesus. The God of the Bible is a revealing God. He makes himself known. He unveils, unpacks his mysteries. And this is done most clearly in Jesus. Today, I'd like to offer something of an overview, a big picture, a high altitude view of Matthew chapter 12, showing something of the wonderful flow of the gospel, but especially how the focus is upon Jesus. And then say, let's make sure we don't miss Jesus. You can see in your outline, if you have a copy of that, the first point is this. These four, Sabbath, servant, spirit, sign or signs. Sabbath, servant, spirit, sign. These were fundamental and essential aspects of Jewish life. They were the institutions, the priorities, the matters of religious identity. It was thought by some that Jesus was opposing them, opposing the Sabbath. Not quite the servant that Isaiah spoke of. And certainly doing something by an evil spirit, and not quite bringing the signs we wanted to see. It was thought by some that Jesus was opposed to these central matters, or that he was overturning them, when in reality, Jesus was fulfilling them. An overview. Sabbath. The Sabbath controversy, the Sabbath deeds and whatever, occur from chapter 12, verse 1, all the way to verse 14. It's a controversy about Jesus and his disciples and the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. What does Jesus do? In sum, Jesus takes these opponents, these arguers, to the Scriptures, and he does so three times. Twice he says, "Have you not read?" Again, "Have you not read?" And then a third time, he quotes a passage from the prophet Hosea. Three times Jesus takes those who are arguing with him about the Sabbath, three times he takes them to the Scriptures. This ought to remind us of another controversy that Jesus had in the Gospel of Matthew. One in which he also took the opponent then back to the Scriptures three times. But it is written. It is written. It is written. That was Matthew chapter 4, and the opponent there was the devil. Jesus three times takes him back. "You don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures." Here there's a controversy of the Sabbath. Three times Jesus says, "Of whom are you? Have you not read?" Jesus is not here discarding the Sabbath, as we shall see. in our day and age, rightly called the Lord's Day. Jesus is not discarding the Sabbath, as some would say. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And some people have said, well, he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's just pretty much put it on the shelf. Well, that would be like saying that the Lord of the house, upon arriving at the house, in the house, is doing away with the house. That's not the case at all. The Sabbath is about Jesus. To miss this is to miss Jesus. To miss where the Sabbath of the fourth commandment was going is to miss Jesus. Jesus does good deeds on the Sabbath, and the desire then of the Pharisees is to destroy him. We see that in verse 14. By the way, mentioned something about the flow, the wondrous, beautiful flow of the Gospels. Matthew 11 ends with that wonderful invitation by Jesus. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This first controversy shows Jesus as the one who gives rest. So that's Sabbath. Well, the passage goes on, and we find partway through Matthew chapter 12, from verses 15 through 21, we go from Sabbath to Scripture, another identifying mark of the people of God. The Jews then thought they were all about the Sabbath, but they missed the Lord of the Sabbath. Now they also think they're all about the Scriptures. They're busy trying to destroy Jesus. Jesus presses on, and here's this wondrous quotation from Isaiah 42. Behold, love that, because the Sabbath controversy was Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain fields, and the Pharisees were looking. They were there waiting. They were probably in their nest, and they were looking. And what do they say when they call out to Jesus? They say, behold, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Well, here this passage from Isaiah begins. Behold, take note, take a look at this. My servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. Jesus points to Isaiah. This is a passage about the servant of the Lord. Listen to those words again. My beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. What will he do? I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare righteousness, justice to the nations, to the Gentiles. This is about someone who is marked by the Spirit of God, someone marked by the Spirit of God who will gather in all nations. This is about fellowship. This is about companionship and reception instead of rejection and opposition. Jesus came to gather outsiders, Gentiles, bruised reeds, and barely smoldering wicks. Oh, the people that were arguing with him, they were all set. They were strong. My reed is not bruised at all. I'm tough. I'm a strong flame. I'm burning. There's no smoldering wick here. Okay, you're off to the side. Jesus came to gather the weak. And by the way, this is all about Jesus. So for them to claim, we are of Isaiah, we'll follow where Isaiah goes, and Isaiah is pointing forward to the servant upon whom the Spirit... And these words, by the way, behold, my servant, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, similar words that we heard at the baptism, which we will hear at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is about Jesus. So you claim to hold on to Isaiah? Why don't you go where Isaiah is pointing? Well, Sabbath, servant, spirit. But before we go to spirit, something else needs to be pointed out. Remember that wonderful invitation at the end of Matthew chapter 11? First of all, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll find Sabbath in Christ. You'll find rest. The second invitation was what? Take my yoke upon you. It's a yoke. It's for work. We're in this together. Your loneliness is answered. Jesus is the one who will gather the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks. He will gather the outsiders. Companionship. It's as if the gospel is flowing along like the Lord intended it. Well, now we come to the Spirit. It's another controversy. It begins in verse 22 and travels all the way to what we call verse 37. It's quite a controversy. Tender consciences tremble at this. This controversy is over the Spirit. Where is the Spirit leading? What is the Spirit doing? And who is this Jesus? As Jesus was performing the work of the kingdom, they had brought a demon-possessed man to him. Everyone agreed, that guy has an evil spirit, demon possession. Somebody brings a demon-possessed man to Jesus, and Jesus heals the man. The man wasn't just demon-possessed. Apparently, he had other ailments. He needed to be healed. Apparently, he couldn't see. Apparently, he couldn't speak. He's healed. So the controversy and the attacks continue. He did that by the ruler of the demons, Beelzebul. He's accused of doing what he was doing in the power and in the name of the evil one, instead of acting by the Holy Spirit. This is what's called evil speaking. Another term for that is blasphemy. They were speaking against Jesus and the Spirit which was upon him and the Spirit which was pointing to Jesus. Oh, so it becomes this trembling passage. Because as the Bible says, let every fact be confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. The first witness, Jesus, is there. You reject Jesus, there's forgiveness. But you reject the Holy Spirit that's saying it is Jesus, you've just rejected the second witness. You're missing Jesus. So this was another aspect of Jewish life. We're of the Sabbath. We're people of the day. We're people of the Scripture, and we're looking for the servant. Well, the rest giver has shown up, and he's rejected. The servant has shown up, and he is rejected. And the one that the Spirit is saying, there he is, now they're saying, oh, no, that's false. But they're saying, we're of the Spirit. You're missing Jesus. Last is sign. Just to be very direct about this. Verses 38 and following. Israel was all about their signs as well. We love pointing to what God has done. Matter of fact, our rituals are shaped around what God has done. Passover, look what the Lord has done. The child is supposed to stand as asked during the, Dad, what does this mean? Let me tell you what God, our Heavenly Father, has done. That's what Dad is supposed to say. Son, let me tell you what our Heavenly Father has done. Mighty hand, outstretched arm, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. They're all about their signs. God's power, what he has done. So in their minds, if this Jesus was from God, he would be doing some signs. Verse 38, they wanted some proof. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He's just been doing a whole bunch of signs. But they, you know what? We want to see a specific. Can you give us one right now? Just throw one down. We want to see a sign from you. Just prove it. Jesus actually says that you're going to get a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. You're going to get the sign of Jonah. A sign you've already had. Oh, Jesus does something else in that very passage. In verse 42, Jesus referred to Solomon. And the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, came to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 10. Jesus refers to the queen of the south. And the queen of the south recognized wisdom when she heard it. She recognized wisdom when she saw it. And Jesus says, the queen of the south is going to rise up in judgment on you. I'm right in front of you. Kingly wisdom is right in front of you. Solomonic wisdom is right in front of you. You're not. You're missing Jesus. By the way, the wonderful flow of the gospel, that invitation, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus also said, take my yoke upon you, and that's an answer to our loneliness. It's a providing a godly companionship. But his third part of that invitation was this: and learn from me. How are we going to learn from Jesus unless we follow the guidance of his Holy Spirit? Huh? Oh, it's all together. So this whole passage, Matthew 12, remember, it's a large view. This whole passage ends with Jesus referring to those who do the will of the Father. Those who obey. Those are my family members, Jesus says. Somebody comes up, they're talking, hey, you know what? Your mother and your brothers are outside, they want to see you. Jesus uses that as an opportunity to point to his heavenly Father. Who's my family? Those who do the will of my Father. So, to miss Sabbath, to miss the servant, to miss the guidance of the Spirit, or the sign of the one who is right in front of you, is to miss Jesus. Now, there's the big picture of Matthew chapter 12. Whew. We need to make a few points of application right now. To look at these things, to claim to embrace these things which define the people of God, and then to not go where they lead is to miss Jesus. Oh yes, those words are addressed to people who say they're the people of God. We need to be aware of missing Jesus when he is in plain sight right before us. How might we do this? How might we be missing Jesus? How might you be missing Jesus? Well, we can do the big E on the eye chart. When I'm all about my own agenda, or when I'm filled with pride, when I lack humility, big E on the eye chart. When I refuse to love and to serve my closest neighbor, that's all clear. But what about this passage here? Let's let the living and active Word of God address us here and now. What about a neglect of the Lord's Day? A diminishment of the day. Have we considered that? No, we come to that day and we think, well, this is a day for me. This is a day for my family. No, it's a day of Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. We're going to walk into his house and it is his day and we're going to behave. Is it possible that we diminish the day? I really never thought about it. What about doing the day in our own way? I never really thought about that. Is it possible to miss Jesus when we miss his day? What about the neglect of Scripture? It means we're going to end up neglecting the servant. A neglect of Scripture. Well, I just heard it. I'll read it every once in a while. I'll put my toe in the Scriptures like that guy who sticks his toe in the pool of Bethesda. I'll stick my toe in the pool and I'll hope that an angel will trouble the waters. Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, I love the warning from J.C. Ryle. A hasty glance at the Bible now and then does little good. At that rate, you will never become familiar with its treasures or feel the sword of the Spirit fitted to your hand in the hour of conflict. Can we miss Jesus by missing the day, by missing the servant in the Scripture himself? How about the neglect of the Spirit's guidance? Yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. And I heard it right then. But you know, I'm going to put it off. I got something else to do. The Spirit of God was convicting me, and I know that I should have done that. And then I put it off. It's another form of neglecting to do the will of the Father. Oh, how can we do that? I'm waiting for some spectacular sign. I'm waiting for some indication. Just show us a sign, and then I'm going to go forward and do it. Well, a sign's going to be given to you, a sign of Jonah. 3 days, 3 nights. It's already been given for us. Okay. A couple final points on this overview of chapter 12. There's so much ahead of us. And thank you for your patience with me on this. It's a trembling matter to come before the living and active Word of God, and I wanted you to be able to see this bigger picture. I've got just two final points on all of this. and you can see in your outline, greater than. I want you to see something else in Matthew chapter 12. This is fascinating to me. The whole passage of Matthew 12 teaches us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 12, we will find the phrase, something greater, three times. When you see that, when you're reading it, if you hear it out loud, if someone reading it out loud, you're going to hear that. Something greater than is here. Something great. Oh, I'm supposed to pay attention. It's right there on your outline, but I'm going to point you to what it is. In verse 6, yet I say to you, in this place there is a greater than the temple. There is one greater than the temple. There is greater than the temple. This is in the Sabbath controversy. This was about the showbread or the face bread. Is it all right to eat that bread that was just put out on the Lord's Day? That was the debate. The Lord comes forward and says, you know what? In this place, there's one greater than the temple. That's a reference to the law. In verse 41, indeed, there is one greater than Jonah here. That's a reference to the prophets. The next verse says there is one greater than Solomon. There is a greater than Solomon here. That's a reference to kingly wisdom or the writings. I would like to explain something. I'm going to take you into the kitchen for just a moment, but it's fascinating. This order, by the way, these three things, greater than the law, greater than prophets, greater than the writings, this order of law, prophets, writings happens to be the precise structure of the Hebrew Scriptures. The Hebrew Scriptures are sometimes commonly referred to as the Tanakh. Tanakh. The word Tanakh is an acronym for the first Hebrew letter of each division of those Scriptures. Stay with me on this. To point this out, the word is commonly written this way, capital T, A, capital N, A, capital K, H. In Hebrew, Tanakh. Tanakh. Okay? T, N, K. What is that? T stands for Torah, law. N stands for Nevi'im, Hebrew word for prophets. K stands for Ketuvim, Hebrew word for writings. What's going on here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, is there's this presentation of Jesus. Don't miss him. Greater than the law, he's the lawgiver. Greater than the prophets, he's the final prophet. Greater than the writings, he's the final kingly wisdom. If we neglect him, we miss it all. Oh, yeah. Someone greater? Yeah, it's Jesus. Jesus said that the Scriptures testify of me. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Have you ever missed something that was in plain sight? One of the blessings of digging deeply in the Word of God is we see the Lord's wisdom. But have you ever missed something that was in plain sight? Where are my keys? Oh, where is Jesus? Oh, what wondrous warnings are presented in Scriptures for those who miss Jesus, the one of whom the Scriptures speak. So what are we doing here? What are you doing here? You know what we're doing? We're doing what the book of Hebrews says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who began your faith? Jesus. Who's going to finish your faith? You know, we start and we think we're going to be doing just fine, and then we take our eyes off Christ. What happens on the road when you're doing that? You're going along, no texting. You're driving along, and then you look off the way. Inevitably, keep your eyes. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen. And how it relates to the way we live our lives. This is not just head data. This is not just, it's the way we live. Therefore, you also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He just finished Hebrews 11 there, the hall of faith. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. That's what we're doing here. That's why we took a look at Matthew chapter 12 that way. Sabbath, servant, spirit, signs. Where's Jesus? So let us look for Christ. Let us keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ. Let us look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come through to you through Jesus Christ, the only mediator between you and everyone else. We come to you through Jesus, the righteous one, the one who has fulfilled and upheld your law, the one who has given us the sure word of a prophet, and the one who presents the wisdom from above. He is our King, and we are his subjects. Now, Lord, bless and beautify us as we live according to the name of your Son, our Savior. Grow in us a love for your word, a love for your day. Open ears to your spirit and a readiness to obey. We pray all of this through Jesus our Lord, and all of God's people said,